the passage, although Jim's being a little bit greedy today. He wants two Bible readings. So we're going to read from Matthew and then from Acts. So starting with Matthew 28, 16 to 29, I've added verses. I don't know how I've managed to add verses.
It's
meant to be 20. Anyway, let me read it to you. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Our second reading comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. They gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of our God. So I would like to invite Jim to come forward, and I will hand over the ceremonial clicker.
Well, thank you very much. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Now, I want you to smile at me. But your job's really hard because you got to smile with your eyes, okay? So even though we may not be able to see each other's smile, we do need to be smiling at one another. So 2 weeks ago, on the 25th of June, I was in Sydney. We went to the dentist. I had a business appointment. We came home. Saturday, I came to prayer meeting. And Saturday lunchtime, I found out I broke the rules because I was to be in lockdown. So the next 2 weeks, last 2 weeks, we were in lockdown. Daryl called me and said, "You're going to be able to preach?" And I said, "I hope so." But 2 weeks ago, Monday morning, wasn't feeling that well. I had my COVID test, so I don't have COVID. And I teased Linda, saying, "Linda," she's going to shoot me for this, Lord willing, she's watching. I said, "Linda, at midnight, Saturday night, I'm going out of the house." Linda arranged it. She had a blood nose. It wouldn't stop. And so we went to the hospital, to the emergency ward, and Linda spent Saturday night or Friday night, whatever you want to call it, in the hospital with a blood nose, and finally they got it to stop. So anyway, I'm able to be out and about, and I'm looking forward to it. So Daryl's been preaching on big words. I am going to change this. Did it go? Is it going to go? Okay. Why did it break on me? Now it's on. I don't think clickers like me. All right, they're working on that. Anyway, Daryl's been preaching on big words. I decided to preach on a big concept, okay? And I was, been praying this for the past couple of weeks. What should I preach on? I thought about prayer, but I came up to preaching on the Great Commission. And I want to look at three things. Lord willing, we won't be for hours, but we will be. But we want to look at what is the Great Commission, and then we want to look at how the Lord motivated the early church to achieve the Great Commission, and then look at a few tools that will help us with the Great Commission. And if you were in teen Bible study a few weeks ago, you may have heard part of this. Will it work? Yes. So I Googled that question. What is the Great Commission? And this survey from Barna came up, and the question that Barna put out, this is in 2018, so it wasn't that long ago. Barna asked the question, have you heard of the Great Commission? So how many people here have heard the term Great Commission? All right, so I looked in my Bible. All my Bibles but two have the term Great Commission. Two of them just have the word commission. And a commission is an instruction or a command or a role given to a person or to a group. So when Barna asked that question, 51% of churchgoers did not know what the Great Commission was. And 30 or 25% said, I've heard of it, but I don't know the meaning. And 17 said yes and what it means. Now, I looked in the survey, it gave a definition of churchgoers. And a churchgoer, according to this survey, was somebody who's been to church once in the past 6 months. But then it talked about the evangelicals. And that's where we would probably be here, the evangelicals. We would classify ourselves as evangelicals. And praise the Lord, it was 60% of the evangelicals understood what the Great Commission was. So what is the Great Commission? So I've tried to figure out, where did that phrase come from? There might have been, there's a couple of debates on that, a Dutch missionary in the 1600s, because you won't find the word Great Commission in the Greek. So a Dutch missionary may have coined that term, but it definitely was Hudson Taylor who made it very popular. And I just read a biography on, or listened to a biography on Hudson Taylor. You know, when he went to China in the 1800s, there were 300 believers, Chinese believers. When he died, there were over 100,000 Chinese believers. Now, it wasn't just him and his mission board, but, you know, he motivated people to be involved in the Great Commission. So what is the Great Commission? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So the Great Commission is to make disciples. It is a command. And there's three participles there. We are to be going, baptizing, and teaching people who are our disciples. So I asked the question, what is a disciple? And part of this is John Piper's answer when I Googled that question, but I added to it. So a disciple of Jesus is a worshiper. And that's what we're doing here. We're worshiping. A follower, and that's what the word disciple means, a follower. It's a learner, a servant, and a witness. I got a spot in my glasses that's driving me crazy. Excuse me. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and either into the othermost parts of the earth." So the Great Commission is commanded by Jesus Christ. This was given on Acts chapter 1, just before he was going to go up to heaven. Matthew, we don't know exactly when it was given, sometime in the 40 days from his resurrection and his ascension, or 50 days before that. But he gave two commands. We are to make disciples, and we are to witness. Warren Wiersbe adds this. What is a witness? He says, Witness is a key word in the book of Acts. It's used 29 times either as a verb or a noun. And he says it's a witness. A witness is somebody who tells what they have seen and what they have heard. Acts chapter 4, verse 19 and 20, Peter and John's been arrested for healing a lame man. They're on trial. The chief priests just say, don't tell anybody, talk about the name of Jesus Christ anymore. And he replies to them in verse 20, but as for us, we cannot help but speaking that which we have seen and heard. So a witness is somebody who tells people what they've seen, what they've heard, what has they have experienced. So we know of the Great Commission. But what amazed me in the past couple of weeks, probably almost 2 months now, I've been doing my quiet time through Acts, and how the Lord had to motivate the disciples to fulfill the Great Commission. And so we're going to take a whirlwind tour of the book of Acts to see how the Lord motivated the people and what he had to do to get his disciples to go out and obey this commission, because it wasn't all that easy. Now, the first part was easy. The witness in Jerusalem, that part was easy. The disciples were excited. So, you know, 50 days after the ascension of the resurrection, and then the ascension, and 10 days after the ascension, the day of Pentecost came. The Holy Spirit is going to come down and fill the disciples, and probably more than just the 12, probably at least 120 that are in the upper room. So the Holy Spirit comes down. They are filled with the Spirit. They speak in tongues, and they saw this flame of fire. People hear these Galileans speaking their language, and Peter stands up and he preaches the gospel. And you get to verse chapter 2, verse 36. It says this, Peter speaking, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart. And Peter and the rest of the apostles, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what should we do? And Peter said, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and as many as the Lord shall call to himself. And many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And this would make the preaching in church easy. The next verse, verse 41. And when those who had received the word were baptized, they added about 3,000 souls. Man, Darryl, can you imagine that? Preaching and seeing 3,000 people come to know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They got excited. Acts chapter 3 and 4, we already talked about that. Peter and John's going to the temple. There's a man by the gate begging for money. Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise and get up and walk. And then it goes on, jumping and leaping and praising God. This guy goes into the temple first time, because a lame man wasn't allowed into the temple. He's in the temple. And of course, somebody comes walking into church, leaping and jumping and praising God. We're going to gather around him, probably to try to carry him out. But Peter and James took this opportunity to preach the gospel. And in verse 4, about 5,000 came to know the Lord. Of course, they get arrested. And again, they tell them, we have to tell what we have seen and heard. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 31, and when they prayed, all those who were gathered together, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking the word of God with boldness. So it was easy to get the disciples and the early church to go out into Jerusalem to preach the gospel. But remember the Great Commission, they were to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other part of the world. So they're witness in Judea. How did that happen? Well, you know, you have Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 6, you have the disciples needed to choose some deacons to help feed the ladies. Acts chapter 7, you got Stephen. And Stephen preaches the gospel. And what happens to Stephen? He ends up being persecuted for his faith. They throw rocks at him and kill him. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, very interesting verse, Saul, we're introduced to a character here, we'll talk about him in a little bit. Saul was in hearty agreement with them and putting him to death. And on that day, great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were scattered throughout the regions of Judah and Samaria, except for the apostles. In this verse, the Lord is going to use persecution because they were to go out, but they were staying in Jerusalem. That's why they had the problem of the widows and they had to start feeding the ladies who were widows. But now they're scattered and they're going out through Judea and Samaria. But these were all places Jesus already was. And so you see the map there. And so Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Peter is traveling throughout those regions, and he came to some saints who lived at Lydia. There was another guy who was bedridden there in verse 33. In verse 34, and Peter said to him, can't say his name, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. I want to ask my grandchildren, no, I won't, if they made their bed. But immediately he got up. Listen. And then it says there in verse 35, and they turned to the Lord. Then he goes on to Joppa. And in Joppa, again, this is where he's going to raise Tabitha or Dorcas from the dead. And in verse 41, and it became known all over Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And so it's easy to go to Judea. Now, Samaria, before we get to Samaria, as he's in Joppa, God wants the gospel to go out not only to Jews, but to Gentiles. And what he needed to do to get this into the mindset of the Jews was to have some visions happen to Peter. Remember the story, Acts chapter 10. Peter is up on the roof. He's hungry and comes down from heaven, these visions with all kinds of unclean animals. And the Lord says, arise, kill and eat. And Peter argues with the Lord and says, no, I've never done that. And three different times that had to happen. Then they start knocking on the door. There are some Gentiles there because meanwhile, in the city of Caesarea, still in Judean territory, but this is a Gentile land, the Lord's been appearing to Cornelius, saying, hey, go get Peter. Send some men down to Peter to come up to witness to you. Now, can you imagine, Daryl, you're preaching a message like this. So here you are. You arrive in Cornelius' house, and among his first words, Peter says this. And he said to them, you yourself know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner and to visit with him. Yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. What a way to start your message. I want to be a missionary here, but I really don't like you. That's basically what he's saying. Now, God's trying to motivate the church to go to the world. And so, Peter begins to preach the gospel. In verse 45, then all the circumcised, the other Jewish believers who were with him, who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentile. See what the Lord has to do? To motivate the early church to obey the great commandment. He had to allow the Gentiles to become saved the same way they were. Holy Spirit came upon them. And Peter's going to get in trouble for this little instance later on in Acts. And there's going to be a big whole church council to deal with this. But Peter, going up in Judea, moves up to Caesarea. But Samaria, alrighty? Because you're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Well, how did the gospel go to Samaria? Those Samaritans, those half Jew, half Gentile, kind of half brothers, but we don't really like. Well, because of the persecution, Philip, not one of the apostles, Philip, one of the deacons, heads up to Samaria and preaches the gospel and performs many signs, and many people were healed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard what was going up in Samaria, they didn't rejoice in the Lord. They sent Peter and John to check it out. They wanted to make sure, can these Samaritans really come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Now, when they got there, they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. And I think this was on purpose. The Lord really wants to make sure the apostles understand that Samaritans can be believers too. And so at this time, they had to lay their hands on the Holy Spirit and on the Samaritans, and they received the Holy Spirit. Then if you know anything about Philip then goes to the Ethiopian. Now the Ethiopian was a proselyte. He's already been up to Jerusalem worshiping. He's riding in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah. You ever wonder why there were so many proselytes to Judaism? You know, the Jewish religion attracted Greeks, unsaved people. And that's one reason Paul had it easy when he's going to go out. And we're talking about Paul in a little bit. So I asked myself the question, do I attract people in Musselbrook? People in Musselbrook, would they be attracted to Brookside because of me? And so Philip, the deacon, who later is going to be called the evangelist in Acts chapter 21, leads the Ethiopian to the Lord. But again, the Great Commission was a command to make disciples and to witness Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and witness to the world. Now this map up here shows how far Christianity spread by about 600 AD. And if you could see it really good, you would see the dark purple, and that's where it was really strong before 300 AD, went before Constantine made it free. But Christianity started to spread, and we'll look at another map in a minute. But now we have the conversion of Paul, Acts chapter 9, and literally, Paul saw the light. What I always find amazing is how the Lord is going to reach the Gentiles. He is going to call a Pharisee. Now think about that. You've been in church a good bit. You know how the Pharisees hated Jesus Christ. Paul's been a persecutor of the church, but this is the man that he is going to use to motivate the church to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, around the world. And verse 15 says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is a chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he will suffer for his name.'" Now, can you imagine, if you know the story, Paul's blind at the time because he saw the great light. He heard the voice of Jesus. They take him to Damascus. He's still blind. The Lord has to, you know, really convince Ananias to go to him. And he goes to deliver this message. And he would have called him Saul by his name. And he says, listen, this is what God's calling you to do, Mr. Pharisee. Go to the Gentiles. Go to kings. Go to the Jews. And also you're going to suffer greatly for my name's sake. This is also that we could hear the gospel to fulfill the Great Commission. By the way, the Great Commission is still part of the church. So, a good summary of Paul's ministry. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. This is in the city of Thessalonica, where they come and they want to arrest Paul, but they can't find him. And they could not find him. So they dragged Jason and some of the brethren and city officials, shouting, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. This is a map of Paul's four missionary journeys. And this is just one of the apostles and where he went. And we don't know for sure, but Paul wrote the book of Romans to introduce himself to the church of Rome, saying, guys, I need a little bit of support because I want to go to Spain. And maybe he got to Spain. We don't know. But you know that earlier map that I showed you with the spread of Christianity? Paul was a key figure in that, in getting the gospel out to the Gentiles, out to us. But guys, the Great Commission hasn't been completed. The Great Commission is still for us today. Now, if it wasn't for COVID, and all the churches in Muswellbrook could be full with in-person people, would there be 500 people from Muswellbrook in church today? I don't know. I think I'm saying that's probably a pretty big number, 500. That means there's 10, 12,000 people in Muswellbrook not in church today. And, you know, we've been meeting a bunch of us on Saturday mornings when we can, and one of the things we do, we pray for the churches. And I've been praying for revival. I've been praying for the day when all our churches are full. You know, in the teen Bible study, we've been praying, you know, for the teenagers to be able to begin to express and are starting to talk more and more about what's going on in their lives and answering questions. But guys, the Great Commission is for us all. It's not just for the pastor or the PST or the AST, not just for the missionaries, not just for the scripture teachers, not just for the Brook Kid teachers, not just for those with the gift of evangelism. And that's a gift I don't have. I struggle with evangelism. It's easier for me to preach the gospel, to preach to people, than what it is to share one-on-one. You know, the other day, I left Word of Life, a couple weeks ago, I left Word of Life. You know, I want to witness to somebody. You know, and I'm praying, Lord, witness to somebody. So I took a Gospel of John and stuck it in my pocket. And I stopped to get fuel at the BP station here. And I don't normally go there. And there was a gentleman there. I won't say his name because he may be listening. But he was friendly. You know, and we just engage with one another. And I got to the car and realized, you know what? My Gospel of John is still in my pocket. Didn't even dawn on me till I got to the car to think about it and ask him, would you like to read this? It's not always on the forefront of my mind. And all the time I've been praying about this message. We've been praying as a leadership about the discipleship What's it called, Daryl? Full thing?
Building discipleship culture.
And we're thinking about getting involved in this to make it forefront on our minds. So anyway, very quickly, guys, I want to share some tools with you to help accomplish the Great Commission. It's not that hard. Dare to Share is a youth ministry that has a great concept, building gospel conversations, not presentations. And they have this idea, ask, admire, and admit. And a little video will say it better than me. Lord, oh, I hit it too soon. This video will come. Will come. Maybe if I back it up one more. Maybe if you back it up one more.
Still loading.
Still loading. Then go forward. It will load. In the meantime, this gentleman is from Colorado Springs. And when he got saved, he was challenged as an older teenager. At least we got the button now. It should start automatically. And if it doesn't, go home and Google. And if you're at home, still listen to me, but Google Dare to Share, crash course in sharing the gospel. All right, I don't think it's going to go, so I'll show you what he was going to share. Basically, he goes with the phrase, ask, admire, admit. Ask people, how are you doing today? How's life been? What's exciting about you? Ask, admire. You know, I'm really excited that you love football. And turn that into an opportunity to admit, to where then you could share the gospel. And they got the gospel down into a little acronym. G, God created us to be with Him. And this is a little acronym you can memorize, be able to help think your way through. And God did create us. God, you know, God created us to be together. In the beginning, God doesn't seek to prove God. The Bible just states that God was there in the beginning. And God and Adam and Eve would hang out together and talk with one another. Oh, our sins have separated us from God. We all know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And these sins have put a barrier before us. On Friday, I did a funeral for my sister-in-law's mother. That's what death is. It separates us. And our sins have separated us from God. And guys, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Isaiah says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. Everything that we have done, no matter how good we are. I had 8 years perfect attendance in church, and I heard all the Bible stories, but I can remember many times on a Saturday night needing to confess my sins and hoping I'd be good enough. But then the next week, and the next week. Sins, I tried to be good, but it didn't work. And then P, paying the price for sins, Jesus died and rose again. Paul tells us in Romans, but God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that debt that we have could not be paid for by my deed, but it could be paid for by Jesus Christ. And of course, E, everyone who trusts in Him has eternal life. Trust in Him alone. You can't trust in your good works. You can't trust in going to church. You know, the most famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world could be saved through Him. And it was on the 19th of July, 1975, 46 years ago this coming month, that I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and I trusted Him alone. And then L, Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. And then you ask yourself these two questions as you're talking with somebody. You're sharing with them the gospel. Does this make sense? And is there anything keeping you from putting your faith in Jesus Christ? And you know, for me, it made sense for many years. But whether it was pride, I don't know what it was that was holding me back. But then the question was asked, not quite like this, is there anything keeping you today from accepting Christ? And on the 19th of July, 1975, I asked Jesus Christ into my life. And my life was totally changed. So Google Dare to Share. You'll see some of the videos. And they got a lot of good resources. If you Google Dare to Share, you may get the South African little word up there. And Word of Life in South Africa has a lot of good points on their website on how to talk with other people about that. And then another tool, Navigators, up a prayer, care, share. Another way. This is where one way you do begin. Start praying. Do you pray for unsaved people? I have a whole list of people on my list that I am praying for. Some have asked Christ into their Savior, to be their Savior. Some haven't. Some have passed on. Not everybody you pray for will get saved. But you begin to pray for it. Then you begin to care. And then you begin to share. Navigators is another tool. I don't know if you've seen the Bridge to Life, but if you Google Bridge to Life, Navigators has a little PDF that you could download to look through. These are just tools that you could use to help share the gospel. The Bridge to Life is another one. And you know, another one you have is your testimony, your story. This is probably one of the biggest and best tools that you have to share the gospel. You know, John chapter 9, you have the story of the man born blind. No, that the verse is up there. The man born blind. And the Pharisees get all upset because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And they go through get his parents in there. Was he really blind? And keep on kind of putting him on trial. And finally, the man born blind says this. Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know, referring to Jesus Christ. But one thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see. So have you ever written your testimony out? And could you share your testimony in 2 minutes? The Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, shares his testimony 3 different times. And he can do it under, if you read really slow, you can read it under 3 minutes. And again, Navigators has a little website, some things that could help you in sharing your testimony. You should always be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you. Guys, the Great Commission is for us. I don't know who your friends are. You'll run into more people in Muscle Book that you know than I will. And you need to consider, how can I share the gospel with them? Because most of the people in our town are not churchgoers. Most of the people in our town don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We need to have a burden for them. Hudson Taylor said this, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to obey. So will you begin to pray? Will you begin to look for opportunities to have a gospel conversation with the friends, your workmates, your neighbors, your family? See if we can bring more people into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be a part of your team. You could have chosen angels to spread the gospel, but you've chosen us. Father, I'm often convicted that I am not a good witness. And Lord, I just continue to ask that you would give us opportunities to share with others the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you be so gracious, Lord, allow us all in the days ahead to have a gospel conversation. And Father, perhaps one will come to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, if there's any here in this room or any online who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, we would pray that this would be the day that they would respond to the gospel, that it would make sense to them, and that they would say, I want Jesus Christ in my life. And they would put their faith and their trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And that today would be the day of salvation in their life. Father, thank you that we could gather. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Mate, what a challenge to think about ways that we can take that great commission into our community. Got a bit caught up in thought as you were preaching about where the disciples ended up taking that great mission. You know, Matthew ended up in Italy. Thomas, the one who doubted, do you know where he ended up? India. Man, from Jerusalem to India, I mean, that's a little walk. Like, you just don't suddenly go, you know what, I'm going to walk to India today. But it is amazing as the way that God has moved them. So why don't we just take a moment now to maybe think about someone in our lives that doesn't know Christ. Maybe that's someone God is putting on your heart right now that you can start praying for and start trying to think about, well, how do I help that connection? How do I have those conversations? So take a moment, just think about who is my Great Commission? So have a moment. It all starts with praying for those people that God has placed upon our hearts. We pray, it comes from God's wisdom. It comes from God's heart. So we're going to respond to what Jim has shared and what Christ has done for us by the taking of communion. Now, I have discovered a nice little legal loophole. If you have food or drink, you can take your mask off. So if you would like to take your masks off for a temporary period of time, grab your little communion.